From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Bob Garfield is away this week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Okay, I want this area cordoned off. It's a crime scene. Let's get it secure, please.
It's impossible to keep up with the news this week, especially in a pre-recorded show. As I read this, it's closing in on Friday evening. At 4 a.m. this morning, I was following On the Media's Twitter stream, manned by producer Alex Goldman, who was tweeting the Boston Police Department's scanner.
Right now, push those units, push that ALS unit off the down. Where is that ALS unit, please?
They're working it. They're trying to get them there.
It was a movie without pictures, a shootout, a car chase. And we had the newly dead, a campus police officer, a suspect, bombs reportedly strapped to his chest.
We going through the yards, or do they have both of them?
The last update we have, two SPs, one in custody, one down on the ground at gunpoint, not in custody yet.
All right, call Watertown, and get a confirmation of how many we have down. Please, I will say on two.
You just be advised, Watertown is not answering the phones right now. We'll try.
This was a surreal week, a dread-soaked week, with rice and tainted letters in Washington, explosions in Texas, a popular gun control bill going down in flames, a major metropolis in lockdown. And yet, with all that news, it was a bad week for the media, across all platforms. In our never-ending news cycle, breaking news usually reveals what's broken, starting with the urge to tart up real-life anguish.
Body parts. I mean, people have been blown apart. They're dead.
That's Fox News' Sean Hannity's musical mayhem montage. Some say it was set to a theme from Doctor Who. Now, maybe it's unfair to use this as an exemplar of this week's coverage.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this.
After all, Hannity's isn't a news show, and the blood-soaked video it used was running everywhere.
We will find out who did this. We'll find out why they did this.
Then there were all those mistakes, inevitable perhaps, in the fog of news. Early on, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times cited unnamed sources wrongly claiming more bombs had been found. The New York Post was first among many to wrongly label a Saudi national a potential suspect, and it kept posting pictures of people who weren't the bomber. The online community Reddit tried to find the perp by crowdsourcing photos and came up with a blue-robed guy who turned himself in to prove his innocence. Then they did it again to someone else. Other outlets singled out a brown sweatshirt guy, a running away guy. Basically, Gawker observed, every brown person wearing a backpack. But the weirdest episode occurred Wednesday when first CNN and then the AP and others reported that a male suspect had either been arrested or taken into custody.
All right, we're going to interrupt Dana to bring John King back. John, you're working your sources. You're getting more information. Exclusive reporting. What else are you learning?
Wolf, we have information.
While NBC, CBS, and others reported officials denying it. NBC's Pete Williams.
At the end of the day, someone is going to be right.
Yeah.
Because every news organization is reporting something different. Pick your conclusion. Someone's right out there. I can only tell you what we have now been told by senior government officials.
CNN, first to report news of the arrest, was so sure, citing several unnamed local and federal law enforcement sources. But the FBI squashed its scoop, leaving nothing but a rank residue in its wake. CNN's John King.
Part of this reflects on us, but part of it also reflects on people that you talk to who are reliable sources. So when you have people who have been reliable sources, if they're out ahead of themselves, we need to go back and circle with them. And clearly, we need to figure this out ourselves. But you have, there's clearly something afoot today.
CNN ran with scissors and fell on the pointy end because they believe their government sources must know and would never lie. And people say reporters are cynical. There was something awfully familiar, though, about how it played out.
It's almost unheard of for FBI investigations to be leaked.
That's veteran journalist Ronald Kessler, author of The Secrets of the FBI, in 2004, referring to coordinated FBI leaks in the investigation of anthrax suspect Stephen Hatfield, who was found innocent.
The purpose of these leaks is to shake up the suspect and see what he'll do.
Coordinated FBI and police leaks have led to some of journalism's greatest blunders. They led an eager media to all but crucify the innocent Atlanta bomber suspect Richard Jewell in 1996 and the innocent suspected spy Wen-Ho Lee in 1999. But in the Boston bombing case, it sure didn't look coordinated. Sometimes law enforcement authorities really just don't know. When they did know, they told us, showed us, even enlisted us.
For more than 100 years, the FBI has relied upon the public to be its eyes and ears. With the media's help, in an instant, these images will be delivered directly into the hands of millions around the world. Somebody out there knows these individuals as friends, neighbors, co-workers, or family members of the suspects. Though it may be difficult, the nation is counting on those with information to come forward and provide it to us.
But that took a little time.